This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 189. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's time's pass for the shade, calling Barbara 338, tempting demons, the war of words heats up, and in with a new, out with the low sales. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 15th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you should subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
And you should leave a message if you call us.
Right.
We're not going to actually answer that phone.
Exactly.
Okay. So if you just want to call and say something, that's fine. You won't have to talk to us.
It's a voicemail number, okay?
Yes.
The Shade, number four of We Don't Know, because it doesn't say on the cover anymore.
Did it before?
It did.
Oh, so they may be shortening it?
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, too bad.
By Robinson, Cook, and Bone. This is a Times Past story, which they did it in the old Starman series that Robinson did, his classic series. So you've got Darwin Cook penciling, Jay Bone inking, Dave Stewart coloring, and Todd Klein lettering. This is just a murderer's row of great artists that all came together for this, and it is really an impressive issue.
It really was. I was just loved the art.
So we learn about Darnell Caldicott, who is the Shade's great-grandson. And so we're back in 1944. He's a World War II hero and industrialist who's been targeted by the Nazis. Now, Shade, who still technically is a villain at this point, partners with the Golden Age Vigilante, who's a very strange character. It's this cowboy, kind of like a Roy Rogers-esque cowboy singer, but he's also a superhero, and he rides around on a motorcycle and has his six guns and his lasso.
So it seemed at this point Shade was still, he was sort of on the fence about, well, I've been a villain for a while. I, you know, may change my mind or something.
Exactly. Caldicott's wife, we're not clear which side she's actually on until we get more into the story and we find out. We also meet Madame Fatale, who I had to go look up to see if it was a new character. This is not a new character. Was introduced in Crack Comics number 1, Quality Comics 1940. And the idea is this actor who decides to be a mystery man, technically, because his bit is he cross-dresses as an old woman.
So that was his bit even in 1940?
In 1940. That's his whole bit.
Well, this would be certainly then the first cross-dressing.
Right.
Superhero.
And there are apparently references back in the 40s and later references that kind of infer he might have been homosexual, which would make him the first gay hero, if that's the case. Long before some of the characters that have shown up in the 80s and 90s. We also saw him in a cameo in James Robinson's Golden Age miniseries. Apparently was like in one panel. So the question I have is, why aren't people reading this title that DC is considering apparently shortening it? We don't know. At least there's rumors to that effect. I just don't get it. Because this is Robinson back to his Starman era writing, which is really great.
Yes, it is. I'm sort of sad that people aren't reading it.
So if you're not reading it, go read it. Batgirl number 5 by Simone and Syaf. So we get another piece of the picture about how Barbara got back to being Batgirl again and regaining the use of her legs. There's a reference to neural implant surgery. The question is, was it science or was it magic that gave her powers back or gave her use of her legs back? And apparently it's more on the technical side. So it's some pioneering surgery method.
So do you suspect that Bruce Wayne was behind her getting the surgery?
I wouldn't be surprised. So Barbara's mother appears and she's moving back to Gotham City.
So apparently, in this instance at least, Barbara didn't think she was dead because she wasn't that surprised that she was alive, right?
Right, right.
So she had just gone away.
So they've changed the continuity a little bit there. And there's all these references in here to a mysterious code 338, which apparently it's like a post-hypnotic suggestion type thing.
The Manchurian Batman.
Exactly. And so when you say 338, boom, you're turned into some puppet. And we meet this new villain, Gretel, who wears all white. It's a very mysterious character. We know she's on the bad side, but we don't know hardly anything about her at this point. But we do know, as of the last panel, that Bruce, whom Barbara is trying to save from this mysterious 338 organization, turns into Gretel's puppet. And so he's actually attacking her. And the question is he attacking her as like zombie-esque and so not very efficient? Or is he attacking her with the abilities of Batman?
Well, and the issue is whether if Gretel knows he's Batman or not, then she could certainly utilize his knowledge of Batman be a fighter.
But I'm guessing that's not the case.
Okay.
I'm guessing that she has no idea. Demon Knights number 5 by Cornell and Neves. So, as suspected, Exoristos is in fact an Amazon and actually from Paradise Island.
Yes, that was good.
Yeah. We also learned that Madame Xanadu's relationship with Etrigan, that Jason actually knows about the relationship.
And
that makes it really weird.
Well, but it's a way to keep Etrigan in check. When he's not Jason.
Yeah.
That's how I'm thinking.
Or at least that's how Jason would like to think it is.
Yeah. And who knows if that's really what Madame Xanadu does or not. But
right. We also see this panel where Horsewoman uses some sort of pulley system. Somehow magic is involved. And that's how she mounts her horse because she doesn't have the use of her legs.
Right.
And so we actually get to see that and how that happens. At least in a blur, you get to see it. So Mordru and Lefay are trying to tempt each of the 7 into joining their side. Generally, it doesn't go well, except for Vandal Savage, who's already pretty much thinking, well, we're doomed. So he changes sides.
Well, and he knows them.
Right.
I was thinking, though, that maybe he went over there and he's going to sabotage them from behind or something.
That's always a possibility.
It's hard to say with Vandal
Savage.
We would like to think that he has a good side, but maybe not. I just keep seeing him over in the Star Trek Legion crossover. That's
right.
All.
Unwritten number 33 from Vertigo by Carrie and Gross. So Tommy decides he has to attack now before the cadre gets ready for him.
Well, and he has so much power because of all the people on
right.
the website and who are reading it and who are getting together and
chanting
giving
spells,
him power
yeah.
and stuff.
So he resurrects one of the architects of the cadre's headquarters to find out, how do I get in? Where is the inner sanctum that I need to get to? And right before he teleports over, Lizzie goes ahead and admits her love for Tom, which we all knew.
Right.
Except apparently for Tom. So he makes his way through these various traps and these goons, and he makes it to the inner sanctum.
And I just loved this idea of it's not only the number of people who are thinking your story that gives you power, it's also the location. So what the cadre has done is brought a huge group of people into their headquarters here where they're all reading these stories that give Tom Taylor different backgrounds.
Right.
Instead of his spell backgrounds.
Right, and make him a much more minor character in the books.
Yes, and one without powers.
Right.
They give Lizzie the power, or they make Tom a murderer or something else, and it's
right.
just really neat. So he has no power when he goes to confront them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. All right, let's do a quick update on the DC New 52, because a lot of stuff happened this past week, because as we knew, at some point they were going to have to start culling the herd of the 52 books, and stated they wanted to keep it at 52. So there are six new books. Batman Incorporated by Morrison and Burnham. We knew this was coming. I will be picking this one up. I think it will do very well. I know you're not a big fan of it.
And I may not read it.
Well, and you don't have to.
I have no interest in it.
We have Dial H by Miville and Santoluoco. This is based on the Dial H for Heroes Silver Age title. Concept is this teenager finds this alien device which looks very suspiciously like an old-style telephone dial.
Really, I wonder if kids today would even understand Dial H.
They would have no. I think that's why they're cutting it down to Dial H instead of Dial H for Hero, because you literally had letters on this device and you would dial it. Again, the old take the dialer and if you dialed in H, he would become a random hero, and sometimes it would be existing heroes. He would actually become that person, or brand new heroes we never see again.
From what I've been reading about this series, it is going to be mostly the brand new type of heroes. This author is a big sci-fi author. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
Big, very trendy right now.
Okay.
He's very interested in the whole making up superheroes.
Well, he'll get his chance here. So they've tried to reboot this title several times. There was a Vertigo series at one point, DC at least twice. It's never really caught fire before. I am going to pick this one up, hoping this one does catch fire. We'll see how it goes.
I have my doubts about whether it will. I mean, it might get some interest because of the author, but based on just the fact that they're not really promoting some of these titles that aren't the big superheroes, I have my doubts.
Yeah. G.I. Combat by Crawl and Olivetti. This is another war book. None of the other war books that they put out as part of the New 52 have done well. I have really no interest in this. We have The Ravagers by Mackie and Churchill. This is spinning out of the Superboy and Teen Titans mini continuity going on about this nowhere organization. This is going to force me to decide what I'm going to do about the other titles, because I've been on the fence. I'm probably not going to get The Ravagers, and I'm probably going to drop Superboy and Teen Titans unless you have
I like Teen Titans.
How about Superboy?
I can live without Superboy. You know, it's nice to see where it's tying in with the Teen Titans, but I'm not married to it or anything.
Okay.
But I do like Teen Titans and would like to keep that.
Okay, that's fine. Now, the two titles I've been waiting for, Earth 2 by Robinson and Scott. So it's James Robinson
Woo-hoo!
And Nicholas Scott.
Yay!
The JSA returns. The prognosis on this is, hell yeah, I'm getting this. And then we have World's Finest by Levitz, Perez, and McGuire. It's Huntress and Power Girl. We don't know if this Power Girl is related to the Mr. Terrific Karen Starr character or not. I'll talk about Mr. Terrific in a second. Both are from Earth 2.
Both they Power Girl and Huntress
are from Earth 2, and they're both stranded on what I assume will officially be called Earth 1 very soon. The prognosis is, yeah, I'll be getting this one too. What do you think? Of course I'm going to get this series.
Yes. So do you think they'll tie those two together somehow?
Well, they've said Earth 2 and World's Finest titles will be very tightly tied together.
Okay.
Yeah. They want to keep it at 52, so six titles are being dropped as of issue 8, only one of which I'm still getting anyways. Blackhawks, Hawk and Dove, Men of War, OMAC, and Static Shock, and then they are also dropping Mr. Terrific. I was kind of bored with this title. It sounded very interesting to begin with.
I liked it before they did this whole thing in space thing.
Right. My guess is that whole space thing was like setting up something long term, which now won't happen. So now they have three issues to basically wrap things up. And frankly, if it was much more than three issues, I would probably drop it now. Why bother? Because it's not going to matter what happens in the next right. three issues. But again, it's interesting that some of these titles were the ones that had minority leads. And there was a big brouhaha last summer at the cons about DC's not using enough minority characters. Oh, we need to see more of them.
More diversity.
More diversity. Well, they put out diverse characters, but
nobody bought them.
But nobody bought them. If you want more diversity, you got to buy them. Even if you don't necessarily like the title, if you're going to complain about it, you got to go out there and buy them, or DC's not going to keep them.
Maybe they just need to have good titles.
Well, that would help. That would help. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yeah.
It's one person on the cover?
Yeah.
Is it one person in a movie?
Yeah.
That's already out?
No.
It's coming out?
Yes.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Is it a man over 40?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay, so...
No, he's definitely not over 40.
He's definitely not over 40, so in his 30s. In his 30s?
Well, I'm really not sure how old he is.
Wow. Okay, is this actor mostly known for drama?
No.
Comedy?
No.
Genre?
Yes.
Okay, genre. Genre, and is the genre superhero?
Yes.
Anything other than superhero?
Well,
or just superhero?
We're going to go with just superhero, because that's...
Okay. And is it a DC superhero?
Yes.
Okay. And so is it Batman?
It is.
So that would be Christian Bale.
Yes. And it is him in his Batman costume.
Ah.
From The Dark Knight Rises or yes. whatever it is.
Yes.
So there you go.
Ah, okay.
That one was pretty easy.
Yep.
I just kept trying to get you to say superhero genre. Just don't do what I want you to do.
All right. Want you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic A Day blog and my blog. And starting this week, I'm going to be talking about the Filmation Aquaman series from the 60s. So subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.